When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back in to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton, and as always, thank you for joining us. If you've listened before, something you may have quickly picked up on through previous conversations is my love and appreciation for those who are investing in the lives of the next generation. And our guests today are doing exactly that. Joining us are our dear friends out of Northern Colorado serving within the ministry Youth for Christ, Jeff Neal and Megan Packard. Jeff is the executive director of Northern Colorado Youth for Christ and has been working with them since 2001. Through this time with the ministry, he's become keenly aware that kids need to heal and belong before they can hear and believe. I love that. Jeff strives to help kids heal from their pains and belong to a community that cares for them, so they then have the opportunity to hear the gospel and believe in God's love. This is his passion and his life's dedication. Jeff loves God, his wife, Becca, his daughters, Acadia and Lala, and board sports. In that order. Jeff, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. We're excited to be here with you today.
And Megan is the Rebalance Program Director and Personnel Manager for Northern Colorado Youth for Christ and has been with the ministry since 2016. Megan has her master's degree in therapeutic recreation from the University of Georgia and is a trained trust-based relational intervention practitioner. Megan spends her free time with her husband, Josh, and son, Holden. They love to golf, ski, and spend time hiking in the mountains. Megan, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thanks for having us, Zach. We appreciate it.
Well, you guys, for those in our audience who may not be familiar with all that you guys are doing for Youth for Christ, I've read up on you guys. I've seen all the amazing work that you're doing. I would just love for you up front just to share a little bit about the organization and the different ministries Youth for Christ is a part of.
Yeah, so Youth for Christ, we're just one chapter across the country, actually across the world. Youth for Christ, their mission statement is to reach young people everywhere, working together with the local church and other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus, who lead by their godliness and lifestyle, devotion to the Word of God and prayer, passion for sharing the love of Christ, and commitment to social involvement. So that's the mission and what we have. So our particular chapter runs what's called a City Life chapter, where we're really a youth center for kids in our community. There's also Campus Life, which is working on campuses, middle school and high school campuses. There's also a juvenile justice ministry that's working with kids in the judicial system. That coincides with what we do. And then there's Parent Life, and that's working with teens who've been a part of a pregnancy. So our City Life chapter, we do pretty much all of those except for the Campus Life piece. But that's our particular chapter. Across the country, it's a mix of all of those.
Let me tell you guys, it's so needed, the work that you guys are doing, because I truly believe, based on what we're seeing, especially in the mental health space, I mean, the statistics, whether it be anxiety, depression, addiction, loneliness, suicidality, I mean, our youth, our next gen, our adolescents, our young adults, they're up against a lot right now in culture and society today. So what you guys are doing on the front lines, it truly matters. And that's kind of where I want to transition here for a second. As you are on those front lines, as you are investing into the lives of these young adults and these young people, what are you guys seeing as some of the contributing factors, Megan, when it comes to just the challenges that they're up against, and what's kind of a common denominator that you're helping walk alongside of our youth today being?
I think that looking at our youth today, all of them are experiencing some sort of trauma. Trauma that we didn't necessarily experience as much or as vividly when we were kids. And they're just not having the tools and the skills to be able to deal with that trauma, to be able to find a place where they can belong, where they can start to feel like they're a part of something instead of just this lone kid, you know, hanging out in the basement by themselves, which is their safe place. So looking at all the different traumas, we work with a lot of kids who have parents who have been, you know, incarcerated or who have just, you know, walked away. But we also have dealt with kids who are in the foster care system, who have been adopted, but, you know, are still struggling with all those large emotions that come with, you know, the trauma of their childhood before, you know, their middle school or high schools. And then we have the big trauma of COVID, when kids were, you know, like, hey, everybody has to stay in your own house. Don't talk to other kids. Don't, you know, talk to adults, because you're not around them anymore. And so now we have kids that don't know how to have relationships. And so teaching them those skills to have relationships, because without relationships, you really are living in trauma because you're so alone.
You know, as you talk about just really this idea of loneliness that a lot of kids are up against. They struggle with attachment. They come from maybe broken homes, broken families. I see it every day in the work that I get to do with the youth and adolescents that I get the opportunity of walking alongside of in the counseling sector. And it's just, it breaks my heart to see these kids. And I love what Dr. Bruce Perry said long ago. He said that in the mental health space and in our ministry space, we have to transition the language away from what's the matter with that kid to maybe the question of what happened to that kid. And as you guys do this every day, I loved what I read regarding your bio, Jeff, when you said that kids need to heal and belong before they hear and believe. And that's what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to provide a safe place where kids can feel like they actually belong. My dad would always tell me growing up, Zach, every kid deserves someone who's absolutely crazy about them. Jeff, how do you do this? And how do you provide them a safe enough space to feel like they actually belong to then receive the healing that they deserve?
We've noticed that, as Megan kind of alluded to, the kids in the basement all the time, social isolation has gone through the roof for our kids. They are so afraid of, my wife's a teacher, the kids in her class will no longer even share what playlist they're listening to in the classroom because of the fear of being judged for that. And they just don't, like Megan said, they don't have the tools to handle that anymore. And so we really work hard to make sure that we always say you're valued for who you are, not what you can achieve. And that's so counterculture. Whenever you are a really great musician, you get, you know, you get to be on stage and you get, you know, paparazzi after you. Same thing as a great athlete or a great theater, movie stars and that sort of thing. That's, you know, what, 1% of our society. So 99% of society, it's communicated to them. They're not important. I just can't see Jesus saying that that's true. And we have, you know, when we started in 2001, that was what we started with, was you're valuable for who you are, not what you can achieve. And that has brought so many kids who have felt like, yeah, I have never felt like I belong anywhere. One of the things we do is a skate ministry. We have a skate park, and we started with just going out and taking photos and videos of kids. And now this is back whenever it wasn't on iPhone. So we had to actually develop film. We didn't know if we got the trick or not back then. And then we take it back to the park and we'd tell them, hey, you know, do you want to see your photos? And like, oh, I'm not that good. And we're like, no, you're good enough for us to say that you're valuable for someone to follow you around and take some photos. That brought so many kids to us, that actually brought so many kids that had serious problems. So we decided we needed some serious solutions.
Wow. You know, that takes us back to the whole entire centerpiece of identity, right? That our identity is detached from our performance. But oftentimes we see it, whether it be through sports, whether it be through the arts, different things that kids are really interested in investing their time in, is that they place their identity and their worth and their value in, again, like you said, what they can do, rather than simply in the recognition and the fact of who they are, that this life is a gift. And just reminding kids of that, and reminding them that they are, in a sense, although none of us are worthy, that God still called us all worth it, man, that in and of itself is something that we can rejoice and that we can praise about. You know, Megan, I read a lot about your Rebalance program on your website, and it sounds, I mean, absolutely amazing. So I would love for you just to take a moment to share more about what Rebalance is and some of the transformation you've witnessed in youth that go through this entire program.
So Rebalance is a mental health program. All of our coaches are trained in trust-based relational intervention, so which focuses on relationship, and it's very trauma-informed. They also are trained in motivational interviewing and then a discussion-based program called Roundtables. The program is two coaches with 10 kids to kind of keep the ratio small, but that you start to feel like you have to work in community, but that it's a small enough community that if you make a mistake, you can have conversation about it. It's not 30 kids that you're trying to work with. It runs for 12 weeks and 2 hours a week that we meet. And in those 2 hours, we do activities that first hour based on the word from the round table. So let's say the round table word is boundaries that week. So we're going to teach kids about boundaries. Well, so all our activities are actually in bubble suits. So they're running around in bubble suits, they're playing soccer in bubble suits, so that they start to understand their own physical boundaries and that somebody else has a physical boundary because they have a bubble suit on as well. And during that time, we're really focusing also on our calm down techniques. So telling kids like, hey, we're very excited right now, but let's calm down in the very middle of the game, not just at the end of the game. And we talk about how we can use that skill of like, when you're excited, it's the same feeling in your body from when you're like angry at mom who says, stop playing video games and come to dinner. Or you're angry when recess is over and you have to sit down and take a math test. And so we're teaching them these calm down techniques that they can then take with them to use in other settings that they see throughout the week. Then we always feed our kids. We are lucky enough here that our local food bank provides cooked meals for our classes. And then we do 45 minutes of the roundtable discussion. So it's a discussion about like, what is boundaries? Oftentimes kids don't actually understand that other people have boundaries or that their parents have boundaries, that you might have stepped into their boundaries just because you have boundaries. And so we discuss that and we help the kids to set a goal around that. So like I'll knock on my sister's door before entering next time, you know, instead of I just walk into my sister's room. So we help them set realistic goals so that they can work on it throughout the week. And we check in with them to make sure that they're working on it and how they're feeling about understanding this word and how they're doing with it throughout the week. Well, I guess looking for a story. I kind of want to hand that over to Jeff because there's like he was working with a kid there. So
we had a kid that during the boundaries one, we were actually talking about what boundaries he felt like was being crossed by him. And it came up this idea of doing chores at home. And I asked him, we were talking about like, does anybody know what work ethic is? And like, well, we've heard of those two words. We don't know for sure what ethic is. And I said, well, do you have chores? And he goes, well, no, I don't have any chores. I go, okay, you're mom doesn't have you do anything. He goes, well, no, she asks me to do stuff, but I don't do it. I was like, oh, how do you feel whenever you ask someone to do something, they don't do it? He goes, well, that's frustrating. Like, so do you think you might be frustrating your mom? And he's like, well, I think I might be. And I go, well, here's my question for you. So we go through the five stages of change, which is, are you aware? And do you have a desire? Then are you learning skills? And so it's like, Are you aware that by not doing that, you're disrespecting your mom? He was like, no. And I was like, okay, do you want to disrespect your mom? He's like, no, I actually don't. I was like, well, you may need to reconsider then the actions that you're doing when your mom asks you to do something because you're inadvertently disrespecting her and you didn't even know it. So do you want to start working on that? And he's like, yeah, I didn't mean to disrespect my mom. He just wanted to be lazy. He just didn't realize laziness turned into disrespect, and it was hurting his relationship without even knowing it.
It's amazing to hear about some of these, just these scholarly star pupils when it comes to people that have genuinely made a difference in their life, and they're seeing successful then boundaries in their own life. They're able to actually implement some of the things that you're teaching them. Those things really matter, and these success stories only fuel then the work that you guys are continuing to do because you're seeing true life change. Now, I want to ask this because oftentimes when you work with kids, I don't know about you, but if you're spending a lot of time investing in their lives, you start to realize that you don't get the opportunity of almost spending enough time with them. Every time I'm in a counseling session with the kid, it's like I see them for 55 minutes a day and then they're gone. And I don't see them for another 6 days and 23 hours. And it's like, man, I wonder what's going on. It's almost like sometimes you're trying to train and educate and equip, but then you're throwing them back out into the real world or throwing them back out to the wolves in a sense. For you guys, how do you partner with parents and how do you come alongside of just training and educating and equipping them so that way they can pour into and invest in the lives of their children as well?
Well, for Rebalance, we have this really amazing app that we've created that allows our coaches to put in information about what happened in class, what TBRI techniques we used, what calm down techniques we used, and then like what kind of good things the kid was working on, what things they still need to work on. And it creates a letter that goes out the following day of class to any person, like a parent, a guardian, the caseworker, if we're working with that, or like a school counselor. And they are able then to read it and look at it. We actually have school counselors who are like, oh yeah, when the kid then maybe 3 days later gets sent into my office for something, I pull that letter up and I'm like, hey, you worked on this calm down technique. How about you use that now before we start having a conversation and look at what you did so well and rebalance? How can you, you know, start to implement that in the classroom? And so we share that information weekly with all the people who are involved in the youth's life to better able to partner with everybody.
That's amazing, you guys. And then another question I would ask is when it comes to the school system, Jeff, how can the school system maybe come alongside of you guys and anchor or flank the work that you guys are doing? So that way there could be this bridge or this partnership between you guys. So that way every facet of a child's life is pushing them in the same direction.
You know, most of our schools are very interested in the kind of results that we're getting. So one of the things that we know as Christians, if you go into a school and say, hey, we want to bring Jesus or the Holy Spirit in, the schools are pretty resistant and they've got a lot of systems against that. But, you know, something there are no laws against is if I want to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. If I can bring those things into a school, the school is incredibly grateful and say, yes, like we do want those things. We've just really learned how to communicate in the same language that the schools communicate in for those particular aspects. And in that space, we now are getting to work with the schools. We actually, I would say we view it more that we're partnering with them than they're partnering with us. Obviously, it's a partnership, but we're trying to support them by saying, you know, one quick story. We have a school here, an alternative school that we work with. The first semester, they had over 200, I think he's over 200 suspensions. Now it's an alternative school. Kids are already experiencing some issues in schools, and that's why they're at this particular one. So it's a rough first semester. And after one semester of working with us, where we were trying to bring those aspects to these kids, they had less than 25 suspensions the second semester. And the principal told us it's due to our work that he saw the change in the behavior of his kids. And we've worked with that school for 5 years about now. Every year they see the exact same thing. The first semester is rough. And by the time we've worked with them for a semester, the entire culture of the school is different.
Wow, you guys, that just shows again, yeah, culture really matters. And when you bring those fruit of the spirit into a child's life, it makes them feel welcome. It makes them feel like they belong. It makes them feel safe, seen, soothed, right? And then secure again. My friends, as we wrap up our time together today, I want to ask you this. Where can people go to find out more about Youth for Christ, but also how can we get more involved? Because if I'm an audience member today and I'm just hearing about this for the first time, I'm thinking to myself, you know, especially if I'm in the Northern Colorado area, I want to get involved in what you guys are doing. Where can we go? How can we get involved?
Well, I'll start with the first one you asked about Youth for Christ. So if you go to yfc.net, you'll see more of what Youth for Christ does across the country. Then there's, again, chapters all over the place. And so that's one space. But if you want to know a little bit more about Rebalance, as you mentioned, Zach, if you're in Northern Colorado, but we've actually begun training this program across the country. So we have 9 different cities that are Youth for Christ chapters that are doing this. Megan and I also can train organizations that are not inside Youth for Christ. We can train other churches or other ministries. For us, it's really important that we help people that work on the heart ministry, but then there's also a space for harvest. We call it From Heart to Harvest, that there is a space for them to be able to have a follow-up and a wraparound. But we can actually do that in many spaces. They can find more information with Megan.
So we have coloradorebalance.com would be our Rebalance site if you're looking for that in locally, or even that is what is happening in the other 9 cities that we are working with currently. And then just for our local YFC, it's ncyfc.org. So Northern Colorado Youth for Christ.org is what you would look for to just kind of find out about our other programming that we have to offer for our follow-up after Rebalance. Let us show you that pathway. Let us be there for you to have them have a sense of belonging. Even if it starts here at Rebalance, a sense of belonging at our facility, but that means that they then have a chance to be able to hear that they have a bigger belonging in this world with God.
I would encourage all of our audience members to go and check out all the amazing things that God is doing in and throughout Youth for Christ. Get involved, be trained. I'm telling you guys, this stuff really, really matters. Jeff and Megan, I believe this, you're game changers, you're life changers, you're world changers. From all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and myself, thank you guys so much for taking the time to join us today. And thank you for being obedient and willing vessels and servants on behalf of the advancement of the kingdom of God. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center, a place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.